Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Wednesday, October 10th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, hump day Wednesday. We got a lot of games to look at as we start to look to week six. And our guy, Chris Bavona, the manimal in the fantasy pit of misery, really getting me excited with a little Uptown Anthem, a little Naughty by Nature. How you feeling, Scotty?
I'm feeling pretty good this morning. You know, thanks for asking. I just posted my in-season ranks on rotoexperts.com, part of your in-season exclusive Edge Fantasy football package. Enter the King at checkout, or even Speeds will work.
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate that. Using that promo code Speeds, let them know that Speeds is driving the traffic over to the Roto Experts exclusive Edge in-season fantasy package. I mean, listen, it is definitely worth it, unless, of course, you're strong style, because then you didn't have to pay anything on your strength of your Jimmy G spot. Listen, go ahead and get that package. So many ways to join the show. We'll have the phone lines open a little bit later on at 844-843-6879. You'll also be able to follow us at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty Roto X on Twitter. Now, Scott, here's the thing. Wednesday, what we also do, little note here, what we do is we make it a two-hour run here. It's not the sprint. It's the two-hour run. It's like a 10K that we do on Wednesdays. There's no Blewett, so Scott and I take you through this show and FST, giving you early previews of all of the Week 6 games. And then also, we use it as an opportunity to talk through Scott's in-season rankings on rotoexperts.com as well. So a lot of stuff to do. What I will say, though, Scott, is that Wednesdays are a pretty slow kind of news and notes day, you know, especially Wednesday morning. When we start to see the practice reports, you know, that's when we'll start to have stuff. And I always want to let people know on Wednesdays, those are a baseline, okay? You want to see how it trends over time from Wednesday to Thursday to Friday, because there are going to be a lot of people that you're going to see reports did not practice today. And I'm telling you, don't worry about it. I say it every Wednesday, Scott. I'm going to get a notification on my phone this afternoon that says DeAndre Hopkins' status is changed from healthy to questionable. Do not panic. Right, Scott? They're just managing players' reps at this part of the season, and it's all about which direction they trend in throughout the practice week.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. If a guy is not practicing on Friday, that's when you really have to worry.
All right, and that's why we bring in our guy, Dr. A from Inside Injuries, on Friday. I got to tell you, Scotty, I just consulted Inside Injuries last night. I was about to pull the trigger on a trade that I got offered in my, like, long-time season dynasty league, that sort of thing. And before I went and pulled the trigger, I went on over to Inside Injuries to make sure that the guy I was acquiring was, you know, at peak health with low injury risk, because I have seen Dr. A and the crew over there, you know, literally, they did it with Leonard Ford. Fournette. They did it with Jay Ajayi. When we spoke to them last Friday, he was pretty much like, listen, Fournette's going to get hurt. You might want to cut bait. He said Ajayi was the perfect storm. He's going to get hurt. You might want to cut bait, and that's exactly what happened. But I digress. Listen, we talked about the Leonard Fournette thing because, honestly, the biggest news that I saw yesterday on my radar here, Scotty, was that the Jacksonville Jaguars, because of the Leonard Fournette injury, also because, remember, Corey Grant, their backup, went to IR, they signed 31-year-old Jamal Charles to be a backup, to be a one-year deal. I mean, this is still TJ Yeldon. He is still going to be the quote-unquote main guy. My question for you, Scott, is does this make you feel like Dr. A is even right? Is this like insurance in case this Fournette thing is a longer-term thing? Or is he more the type of back that Corey Grant was, and this is more to replace what Corey Grant was giving to the passing game offense?
It's really just depth. It's really going to be just about old TJ Yeldon with about 4 or 5 carries for Jamal Charles. So really what he is right now is a handcuff to TJ Yeldon with inside injuries saying that Leonard Fournette could miss at least another 3 weeks. He's strictly depth. You don't pick him up in fantasy unless you have TJ Yeldon.
Okay, fair enough. Now, let me ask you, though, about TJ Yeldon, and we're going to get into your in-season ranks right now as well. I'm looking at PPR formats, right, because we have already declared that's kind of our that's kind of our standard moving forward. And listen, you talk about TJ Yeldon as potentially like a workhorse, right? So that means in the interim, Scotty, you have TJ Yeldon as an RB1. You have him as number 9 overall, 25 spots higher than the consensus. I got to imagine that's because we're talking about your in-season ranks. You've said it's kind of for like the medium term, maybe the next month or so. That's exactly what we expect Leonard Fournette will miss. We know that, as you're saying, Jamal Charles is literally just depth. And so you're saying TJ Yeldon is pretty much going to be a workhorse for the next month, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting because they originally drafted Yeldon as a guy they thought could be their number one back. He didn't pan out.
Right.
And then they drafted Fournette, but now Fournette's hurt. He's the new Fred Taylor. And TJ Yeldon in PPR leagues has scored nearly 50 points in the last 2 weeks and has recorded double-figure outings in 4 of 5 games this year. He's got a high floor, and his versatility gives him a nice ceiling. So he's locked in as an RB1 right now for as long as he keeps that starting job.
No, absolutely. I think that is really interesting. You know, remember, we say this all the time. It is about skill and opportunity, okay? And the opportunity just fell in TJ Yeldon's lap, but we believe he has the skill to also take advantage of it. That's why over the course of the next month, our guy Scotty Angle, the king, has him as an RB1 at number 9 overall. All right, Scotty, the other kind of piece of news that I wanted to see, and it's about your Seahawks, okay? And I wanted to see what you thought about this. You know, as you know, you have been kind of downgrading in the ranks Russell Wilson at the quarterback position. A lot of fantasy owners have been worried about Doug Baldwin, not only because of the injuries, but, you know, in the last couple of games since he's been back, he has not really performed. I saw a note, Scott, that the Seahawks are running the ball 57% of the time and throwing the ball only 43% of the time. And running the ball at 57% is the highest run percentage in the entire NFL. Now, to me, that's a little counterintuitive because we talk about like their offensive line, and how it's not necessarily the best, but they are running the ball. They used to be kind of, you know, Russell Wilson making plays, playing schoolyard football, being dynamic, almost what we see out of Deshaun Watson, unfortunately. But my question is this. A, what is the impact on Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson? Is it really because they're just like going run heavy these days? And B, I look at Chris Carson and Mike Davis. You have them both inside your top 30 in the ranks and both higher than most. Chris Carson at RB25, Mike Davis at RB28, which is a lot higher than the consensus. Are you buying into this kind of run-pass split for Seattle and think that all of a sudden they're a ground team? Is that informing your Davis and Carson ranks?
Definitely. You know, this is what Pete Carroll said he wanted to do and why he brought in Brian Schottenheimer. When the Seahawks, you know, were a Super Bowl contender every year, what they did was they placed an emphasis on running the ball and letting Russell Wilson pick his spots in the passing game rather than having him carry the offense, which fantasy players liked a lot over the last few years, but they feel that it doesn't win football games enough. You know, when you have to have the quarterback carry the offense and you don't have a running game. So, you know, now you're seeing more read option, et cetera. You know, that's what they want to do. They've actually gone over 100 yards rushing the last three games. It's been a long time since they've done that. They're going to stick with this. Chris Carson, when he's in there as the starter, does a great job of breaking tackles and carrying the pile and being physical and gaining yards after contact. But Mike Davis, they like in the passing game, and he's their preferred goal line runner. So both of these guys can be flex plays. And Carson, when he's healthy, can be a low-end RB2, just like right at that low end where I have him. Both these guys are viable. And you have to remember, you know, Davis is still unowned in a lot of leagues right now. Carson has a lot of trouble staying healthy. Davis could be a high-volume starter if there's another injury to Carson.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we definitely threw out the name Mike Davis. Remember yesterday when we were talking about waiver wire ads at the running back position. Listen, Mike Davis was involved. Obviously, don't forget about those Philadelphia running backs, Clement and Smallwood. And then also, I think we're targeting Alfred Morris as well, given the injury to Matt Breida. Those were all names to look at on your waiver wire if waivers still have yet to run for you in your league. Here's the other thing I want to say, Scott. I'm looking at your running back rankings, and everybody can go on over to rotoexperts.com, get the Roto Experts exclusive edge in-season fantasy package. See how I got that right time this time, Scotty? Say enter the promo code The King at checkout. Here's the thing. I'm intrigued. You know, I've been asking you over the course of the last few weeks. You know, I think it's always interesting when in these timeshares we see both members of the timeshare, you know, kind of inside. Oh, what I'd say is inside like the top 36 or so, right? Because those then are both startable if you include the flex plays, right? So we've talked about Sony Michel and James White before, both of them almost as RB2s. My question, you know how much I love the stereotype Sony Michel, right? But the fact that they're playing Kansas City this week, right? The fact that the total is at 59, I think it's even going to go up into the 60s. Does that make you think, Scotty, that this is going to probably lean to be more of a James White kind of game? And if so, what is the impact on Sony Michel for this week? I think he's an RB2 every single week. But is this going to be like the thing where it's more of a James White game pushing Sony Michel into flex territory?
I have him as an RB1 in my ranks. He's number 10.
Woo!
And I use the picture as a tribute to the spitting statistician for calling this
Sony
Michel a few weeks ago. I don't care what the opponent is. Sony Michel, staying healthy right now. The guy he's got vision. He's got speed. He's got acceleration after he breaks tackles. And they are going to continue to use him because he could be that first true running feature back since Corey Dillon with James White as a compliment. I don't think they're going to change the game plan when they know this guy could be a strength. And remember, you know, this team is game plan specific. They could use Sony Michel to try to win the time of possession war here.
That's a good point, Scott. I remember we saw what Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions did to Tom Brady and the Patriots. There's no reason why the Patriots wouldn't take the same approach to keep Patty Mahomes off the field on Sunday Night Football in a game that we think there is going to be a lot of production. I saw that. I saw that the picture there was my guy, the stereotype. Listen, we were definitely early on it. I've been saying it, Scotty, that I think they drafted him in the spot that they did in the first round because they were finally going to end the kind of revolving door and whack-a-mole at the Patriots running back position. They now have a much more standard timeshare. Sony Michel is your early down guy. James White is your PPR guy. I think that really does help Tom Brady, especially as there were starting to be questions around some of those wide receivers if they could win independently. I don't think that's an issue anymore for the New England Patriots. I'm very excited to see the points that will be scored on Sunday night. But I digress. We talk about Sony Michel and James White. We just mentioned the point, you know, about, you know, in Seattle, Mike Davis and Chris Carson. I want to ask you about another timeshare, and it's one, Scotty, that is close to my heart. You have my guy, Boom Boom Bilal, Pow Pow, as number 38, but you have Isaiah Crowell at number 24. Listen, Crowell is coming off a franchise record performance for the Jets, over 200 yards rushing last week. But the thing is, Bilal Powell, to be honest, still, like, you know, gets the quote-unquote nominal start, right? He's in there for the first first play. Bilal Powell had 99 yards on the ground last week also. How do you see this timeshare playing out for the Jets? They have the Indianapolis Colts this week. I think, you know, there could be production there as well. On a week-to-week basis, what do you see about the Jets running backs?
There's no rhyme or reason there. You know, one guy, one right. And Crowell is the perfect example that, you know, last week 0 yards and this week setting the franchise record. Isaiah Crowell, you know, 22.2 points in week one, less than 6 in week two, 20 over 19 in week three, and then 1.3 in week four, and then the 30 points last week. So it's kind of like a like an Amari Cooper kind of thing where it's an even numbered week, and I don't think you want to start Isaiah Crowell right now. You know, with Bilal Powell, starting just means you're on the field for the first play of the game. That doesn't mean you're the best running back. Bilal Powell has had four out of his five games, he's failed to score double-figure fantasy points.
Okay, so no, that makes sense to me. I'm just wondering, like, to your point, because they are kind of like a rhyme. There's no rhyme or reason of which one it is. Why aren't they kind of closer in your ranks? You know, you have 14 spots between them with Crowell at 24 and Powell at 38. Where, to your point, like, I can make a case that on this Sunday, it's very easy that Powell could outscore Crowell. You know what I mean? And on any given week, you may not know. So why is there so much of a big gap in between them?
Because what I just said, there's absolutely no upside with Bilal Powell. Right. He's had one game where he's had double-figure fantasy points, so it's rare that it seems like he's going to outscore Crowell.
Okay, fair enough. We shall see how the Jets play. And one more thing I want to ask you, Scotty, before we get to break. I don't know if you see, but, you know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, one of the best shows that are out there in the evening is the Fantasy Freestyle by some guy, hosted by some guy named the Spitting Statistician, the Stable Genius, and Vocal Minority. We got a great Stats Overbeat Cypher. They're asking questions. It's good stuff, right? But I had a poll question up yesterday that I think is really interesting, and I want to bring it to you now, okay? I want you to think about it, and I want to get your kind of well-thought-out, detailed answer when we come back out of the break. I was able to put up a poll that I don't think anyone has ever put up before because this is a very unique situation. Scotty, you know there are four teams in the NFL right now that have identical 2-2-1 records that are like so 500 it's ridiculous. They are 2-2-1. The Browns and the Steelers are 2-2-1. The Vikings and the Packers are 2-2-1. So my poll question for Fantasy Freestyle last night, Scotty, was of the 2-2-1 teams, which of them do you have the most confidence will kind of, you know, flip the switch and make a run? And which of the 2-2-1 teams do you have the least confidence in and that you will think will most likely miss the playoffs? I want you to think about those 2-2-1 teams, the Packers, the Vikings, the Steelers, and the Browns. And when we come back, I want to hear you what your answers are. I'll tell you what the Stats Overbeat Cypher said. And let's talk a little bit about what direction these teams are going in, because some of these 2-2-1 teams we feel good about, and some are like five-alarm fires. So let's go through those and what we expect out of the 2-2-1 teams when we come back. Scotty, how does that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, that's what we're going to do. We're off and running. It's Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Spitting Statistician and El Rey de Fantasia. Come on back. Week 6 on the horizon.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only place to go for 24/7 fantasy sports advice. Once you download the FNTSY Sports Radio app, you'll get the most accurate experts and most entertaining programming in the fantasy sports world. Listen to great shows like Fantasy Football Frenzy.
There you go right there, Goon Squad.
Game Time Decisions.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Fantasy Freestyle.
You know what it is.
And plenty more. Boom! Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app on your iPhone and Android devices now and take the best fantasy sports talk wherever life leads you.
What's the most important thing you can do today? How about swab to save a life? Every 3 minutes in the United States, a person is diagnosed with a blood cancer like leukemia. Bone marrow transplants give patients a new lease on life, but 70% of them must rely on a stranger for one. You can help. Register with DKMS to become a donor. You'll receive a swab kit in the mail, swab your cheeks, send the samples back, and you're good to go. Take the first step. Become a hero. Register today at DKMS.org.
Bam bam bam
boom, boom, be loud, pow, pow. That's my man Chris Bavona down there in the fantasy pit of misery. Dilly, dilly to him. Hey, Bavona, I got a nice autumnal mead for you next time I see you. It's Roto Experts in the morning. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, before the
reminds
break.
Reminds me of those reggae parties I used to go to in college.
Yeah, buddy. That's what I'm talking about. We can talk about those a little bit offline, my friend. I'm sure we had some similar
experiences. I learned certain moves
with
that. Those parties.
Oh, yeah? Interesting. Yeah. That sounds like an offline conversation,
I had some of the ladies teach me. This is how you dance to this kind of music.
Oh, nice. I like that kind of instruction. That sounds good. Scott, going into the break, I asked you, I thought it was a weird anomaly that we have four teams in the NFL right now that are exactly 2-2-1. What do you think the stats over beat Cypher, my fans that voted on a poll, thanks to all 261 of you? There is still 10 hours left, though. Bavona down there in the pit of misery, if you want to like retweet the poll that I had from Fantasy Freestyle last night. We got the Minnesota Vikings, the Green Bay Packers in the NFC. We got the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC. All of those teams are exactly 2-2-1. What do you think that the poll, who do you think the voters had the most faith in will, get hot and make a run?
I'm going to say that they chose the Browns to be unique.
You're going to say they chose the Browns. Unfortunately, only 12% of folks chose the Browns. People are, happy and excited about them, but they don't believe it's sustainable just yet. No, Scotty, 48% of the people went with the Minnesota Vikings. They think that the Vikings are in good shape to keep it going. What do you think? I mean, listen, they caused me concern, that offensive line. You know, Scotty, my narrative, I've been looking at teams with bad offensive lines and not really buying into them. Mostly it's been the Houston Texans. I've talked about Dallas, how they taken a step back offensively because of the offensive line. And Minnesota was the other one that I gave out. Now, the Dalvin Cook injury really, I think, hurts too. I'm worried about Dalvin Cook. This is when they brought him back too early on that Thursday Night Football against the Rams. It's never a good sign when you're actually hearing quotes from the player himself being like, yeah, this is going to take some time. I think this is going to be just all Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, and Stephon Diggs as far as they can take them. But I don't know how sustainable that is. What's your level of concern with the Vikings?
Level of concern with the Vikings, I think they still could be a playoff team. Dalvin Cook will come back at some point, I think. Right. The defense should get better. Maybe they're not the Super Bowl team we thought they were, but they're becoming one of these playoff teams that can generate a lot of offense with their passing game. And, they still have the talent on defense to get a stop during the playoffs. So I still think they're a wild card team.
Okay, fair enough. And listen, this week, Scotty, as we start looking at lines, and I want to tell people, guys, that BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI. Hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events, where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI is now offering a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code FNTSY. So head on over there today, start winning. That's BetDSI.com. Enter the promo code FNTSY. Scotty, as I start to look at lines, as we look ahead to week six, we're talking about the Minnesota Vikings. They have the biggest spread on the board so far as lines open for this week. Okay, the Vikings are 10.5-point favorites at home against the Rosen one and the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are coming off the win themselves against CJ Beathard and the hapless Niners, but it was their first win of the year. The Cardinals stand at 1-4. Now they got to go on the road to Minnesota. They're one of these 2-2-1 teams. They need a victory, Scotty. The Vikings, a lot of people use them already in Survivor. So, if you're telling me you think they're going to win outright, that's one thing. But you think they can cover a 10.5-point spread this week against Arizona, Scott?
No. Unless they look back to the Bills game and say, we don't want to have that happen again. I can't have any confidence. The Bills, they're schizophrenic. I don't know what I'm going to get week to week. So,
right.
I can't have any confidence they're going to cover the spread. I'll take the Cardinals with the points.
Yeah, I think 10.5 points is a lot, especially for teams that, on some level keep their bread buttered, on the defensive side. Do you think Patrick Peterson you know, one of the best corners in the NFL, but he's not, he used to shadow a lot. Now I think he's playing more of that zone coverage on one side, a la Richard Sherman. Is that correct, Scotty? And that said, what does that mean for, you know, your, the big wide receivers in Minnesota, Thielen and Diggs, who, by the way, as I look in your in-season ranks, you have both Thielen and Diggs inside your top six of wide receivers. Thielen as wide out three moving forward, Diggs as wide out six moving forward for the next month or so. I don't think I've ever seen that, Scotty. Two wide receivers on the same team inside the top six. We may have seen it with running back with like Kamara and Ingram last year, maybe 2 years ago with you know, Freeman and Coleman, but it is rare to see two guys on the same team like that, both inside in elite territory, like you have Thielen and Diggs. So who's Peterson going to be on today, and does it matter for these guys?
Well, I was reading that Peterson was going to travel more earlier in the season. I'm going to have to watch the Cardinals more closely now and see if that's true or not. But obviously can't cover both of those guys by them, by himself. Adam Thielen is the number one scoring wide receiver in fantasy football, and it's kind of not close. He's 12 points ahead of Michael Thomas right now, and he shows no signs of slowing down. And you know, Stephon Diggs, he's number seven. He's ahead of Tyreek. He's outscored Tyreek Hill, Odell Beckham, AJ Green, Juju Smith-Schuster, Julio Jones, Mike Evans. So you know, they these guys have earned their spot atop the ranks.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think, Scotty, as we look at this game a little bit more, do you think that if Dalvin Cook kind of gets healthy, if they fix this offensive line, because I believe that part of that, the Thielen and Diggs, is driven by the fact that they have absolutely no run game, right? So Kirk Cousins has to chuck it up, you know, 45 times a game. At some point in the season, when Cook gets healthy, do you think it would be a little bit of a drop for Thielen and Diggs if they start to, you know, involve the run game a little bit more? Or do you think the Vikings are going to be like, listen, this is our best shot. Keep throwing it, Kirk.
Yeah, if Dalvin Cook's not back, they have to throw. They have no running game, and the defense is not playing up to par, so it's kind of obvious.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Hey, Scotty, like I said, I framed this segment looking at the 2-2-1 teams, and the other, you know, the AFC tie was the Steelers and the Browns, right? So, listen, it is a huge week in the AFC North this week, Scotty. Both the teams, I believe, face each other, right? Oh, no. Excuse me, I am wrong. One of them, we have a matchup there of Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. So the Pittsburgh Steelers are one of these 2-2-1 teams. They go to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. The Bengals are 2.5-point favorites. You know, you got the Steelers on the road. You know, this to me is Exhibit A of why Le'Veon Bell is really kind of out for self. You know, they say, the reports are that he's going to come back week 7 on after their bye and kind of get back into shape and be ready to go. But the 2-2-1 Steelers, right, they, this week, the week right before his pronounced return, they have their road division game against the team that is in first place in the division, 4-1. Literally, there is no more important game on the Steelers' schedule all year than their road division game against the division leader. And that is happening this week, week 6, at Cincinnati. Bengals are 2.5-point favorites. How do you see this game playing out? You know, we talk about the two great wide receivers in Minnesota, Scott, but at the same time, you have both Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster inside your top 12, so you have them both as wide receiver ones as well. Very, very rare. We have two Vikings as wide receiver ones and two Steelers as wide receiver ones. You think both of them will be able to eat against this Cincinnati defense?
They pretty much eat against everybody, although Smith-Schuster has become a little bit more touchdown dependent in the last 2 weeks. To the point, what I mean is they were not seeing as many yardage and catches in the last 2 weeks. So, you know, that's a little bit of a concern, but still with the overall numbers, he does hit number 12. But, you know, these two teams, you know, they, I think they're primed for a shootout here, and the Vegas number obviously reflects it.
Yep, it is in the 50s. The total for this game is 53. So if you think there's some production, we like the wide receivers on the Pittsburgh side. Scotty, we also like the wide receivers on the Cincinnati side. You know about A.J. Green. Talk to me about your thinking on Tyler Boyd. I mean, he was hot, you know, a couple of weeks ago. He was a big-time waiver ad. He had a big game, I believe, in the game against Atlanta on the road as well. For the foreseeable future, you have him as wide receiver 19. So definitively a wide receiver 2, kind of in the same range. You have him as guys like Calvin Ridley, Kenny Galladay, other kind of surprising ascending wide receivers, right? You know, like Galladay and Ridley, as I'm saying. Tyler Boyd is up there. You're comfortable with him as a wide receiver 2 for the next month, and you got to love his matchup against Pittsburgh this week, right?
Not only that, but I'll go into that in a second, but you know, last week was the first time in the last 4 games that he hadn't cracked 21 fantasy points in a PPR. And going forward, not only does he have Pittsburgh, look what he has after that. Kansas City, Tampa Bay, New Orleans.
Love it. Love it. Those are like, you know, literally with Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Tampa Bay, you can have no better 3-game stretch. These are the pass secondaries that we have been attacking all season long. We talked about it with Atlanta, Pittsburgh last week. I've been saying for the last week and a half that I love all of the Tampa Bay playmakers. I'm saying go out and get Jameis Winston and his pass catchers because of the fact that their pass defense sucks and that they're going to wind up being in shootouts. And you know our narrative about the Arena League games that the Kansas City Chiefs are playing in. So great call there. Tyler Boyd may be in line for a nice little stretch. Let's stay, Scotty, in the AFC North. I think it's incredibly fascinating. There's this Steelers-Bengals game. The other 2-2-1 team, they are a home dog this week. It's only 1.5, okay? But Baker Mayfield has looked good at home, but I think they have a much tougher test than what they have seen the last couple of weeks. It is the Los Angeles Chargers who come to town. The Chargers come to town at 3-2, looking like they're starting to, you know, still be relevant. Remember, their only losses are to two teams that are combined 10-0 in the league. They lost to the Rams and the Chiefs. Do you think the Browns are good enough to now actually beat like a blue chip kind of perennial playoff contender at home with Phillip Rivers? Because, you know, Phillip Rivers ain't going to care about Baker Mania and all the narrative that's out there. Melvin Ingram's not going to care coming down. Derwin James is playing like a ridiculous, maybe, Rookie of the Year candidate. You know, there's two Defensive Rookie of the Year candidates in this game. Denzel Ward, who's having an incredible game, turnovers, even blocked a kick, and Derwin James, who has delivered on everything we thought he was. I got to think that those two guys are the favorites for Defensive Rookie of the Year, Scotty, but how do you see this game playing out? We got the Browns as a 1.5-point home dog.
Well, the Browns may not make the playoffs, and some of their fans are acting like 2 wins is like, you know, some sort of super celebration.
Right.
You know, that's how low the bar has been set. But, you know, they could certainly be competitive in a game like this. The Chargers are not playing good defense. You could see a pretty good day out of Baker Mayfield. He might be a good DFS kind of guy, you know, put together Mayfield and Landry and hope that Landry finally gets in the end zone here. I think they can be competitive. And their defense, they give up a lot of yardage, but they're opportunistic.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this. You like Baker Mayfield, just saying this week. In one of the leagues, Scotty, I think we're in together at GST. My two quarterbacks are Big Ben and Baker. Should I entertain the idea of starting Baker over Big Ben?
No, I think that's a little bit of overanalysis.
It's too far
there.
Yeah, okay,
it's too far. Just because I like Baker Mayfield, I don't start him over an established QB1. It's more of a daily thing, or if you have Matthew Stafford or Drew Brees off this week
on bye. Okay, fair enough. Thank you for the clarification. Listen, when we talk about these Chargers, you know the names. You know Melvin Gordon. You know what Keenan Allen's doing. But the guy I want to talk to you about, Scott, and I've been on him for a little while as a guy who people thought maybe was a handcuff, but now I believe has standalone value, and it's Austin Eckler. And you have him in your in-season rankings as RB30, a little bit higher than the consensus. So it sounds like you're saying this guy is a viable flex play week to week.
He is, but he's volatile. You know, that's why I won't rank him as high. You know, you can't be guaranteed, you know, that this guy is always going to make the most of every touch. And, you know, I think, you know, he's a great matchup play like last week against the Raiders. It goes without saying. But, and look, you know, he's outscored some backs I have ranked ahead of him, like like Marshawn Lynch, but I still believe like it's volatile. You know, you're only seeing, like, in terms of rushing touches, you know, only once in double figures. And then in the receiving game, you've only seen more than four receptions just one time. So with the amount of touches that he's getting, you know, I don't know how much you can really depend on those big plays so often.
Fair, but when we talk about the flex level, you know, you'll take that kind of volatility, because at that level,
right,
you
but
know,
that's
hey,
just why I have him ranked lower is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. You know, he's not an RB2. He's a flex play, and we understand that he's one of a kind of, you know, boom or bust kind of guy. He has been making big plays, though. Even last week, I think, you know, his touchdown was like a 50-yard kind of screen pass that he just kind of took to the house. So he does have that potential. Scotty, I want to finish up the AFC North, because I do think it's such a fascinating division with two teams that are 2-2-1, and the Bengals kind of atop the division. They're also at 3-2 in second place is the Baltimore Ravens, and I think this is a very interesting AFC game, a battle of kind of what I would say are 3-2 teams that, you know, if you could fly under the radar as a 3-2 team in the AFC, I think both of these teams are doing so. The Baltimore Ravens go to Tennessee to take on the Titans. And, you know, Scotty, the winner of this game will be 4-2 in the AFC. And really, I think you got to start taking seriously as a playoff contender, right?
Yeah, I think both these teams are playoff contenders, but it's volatile, really, with the Titans, because, you know, their passing game is very limp. And, you know, with the Ravens, you know, I think you like the quarterback situation better. If I had to pick one to make the playoffs, I would take the Ravens. Both these defenses are excellent streams this week. Well, the Ravens are not even a stream anymore at this point.
Right.
And then also, you know, you have you know, the Titans are a very underrated defense. They've been playing really, really well fantasy-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. We recommended them as a streaming defense last week. They did pretty well. Even in a loss against Buffalo, they did pretty well. Hey, Scotty, I'm going to want to ask you, but we'll do it on the other side of the break, because I know we got to take a commercial. We've been talking about, like, these kind of timeshare running backs, right? We talked about both backs in New England, both backs in Seattle, both backs with the Jets. I have been getting a ton of questions about both backs in Baltimore. You have them both as flex plays, right behind the aforementioned Austin Eckler, who we talked about a little bit. So for context, you have both of Alex Collins and Buck Allen behind Austin Eckler, okay? So for context, they are just flex plays. You are lower than the industry on Alex Collins as your RB31, higher than the industry on Buck Allen as your RB33. When we come back on the other side of the break, I want to get your detailed perspective on Buck Allen and Alex Collins, and then we continue to look at some more of the early games of week 6. It's Roto Experts in the Morning, Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle. Come on right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle, taking you through as our early looks of the Week 6 games and, of course, the King's in-season rankings, which you can find on rotoexperts.com and the Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football in-season package. Enter the promo code THEKING at checkout. We'll have the phone lines open in this segment as well. If you want to join the fun as we put the fun in functional sports radio, the number to call is 844-843-6879. Scotty, before the break, I was telling you I'm getting a lot of questions on social media about Alex Collins versus Buck Allen. We've profiled the fumbling issues of Alex Collins, not, you know, Jim Jim Harbaugh is not a fan of this. You have them both in your flex territory. Alex Collins is RB31. Buck Allen is RB33. But it sounds like, and I agree with you, that they're like, you know, they're heading in opposite directions in the ranks, right?
No, they're pretty much like been floating around there because, you know, Collins will, you know, he'll start the game. He'll get some carries once in a while. He'll pop him in at the goal line. He'll have some nice runs. Like he had a 17-yarder and a 19-yarder last week. And, you know, then with Buck Allen, you're not going to get a lot of yardage from scrimmage, but they will use him at the goal line. He will catch some passes. But neither one is ideally a guy that you want to start on more than a bye week.
Okay, let's move ahead. The first game that's going to happen in a mere 36 hours or so is Thursday Night Football. We'll kick off week 6. And listen, Scott, this is one where, like, all my narratives will be tested, okay? The New York Giants are hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, we talk about how so far in 5 weeks, the home team has won every Thursday Night Football game. Okay, all 5 weeks. We talk about the home dogs. You know how much I love to say the home dogs here. The Giants are 3-point home dogs. I think this line might even move a little bit more, so I might wait until I can hopefully see it at 3.5 or even more. But talk to me about this game a little bit. You know, the Eagles are banged up. They just lost their starting running back. The Giants really need this one. Scott, you and I are in the New York area. We see the back pages of the newspaper, Odell chirping. Sterling Shepard now looks like he's following the example, throwing a mini tantrum with a garbage can on the sidelines. I mean, the Giants are at 1-4, another loss at 1-5, and this can completely go off the rails. But they have the Eagles coming to town who, listen, they need this win as well. They are looking up at the Washington football team in the NFC East by a half a game, as no team is above 500 in this division. You know, all my little narratives with the home team on Thursday night, the home dogs, would point towards the Giants, but I kind of feel like the Eagles right the ship a little bit quicker. How do you see this game playing out, Scotty?
Like you said, both teams need this game desperately. Go to Inside Injuries right now and check out their report on rotoexperts.com. We're hearing reports of a back problem, a minor back problem for Saquon Barkley when he had that leaping touchdown last week. But Inside Injuries is also reporting that he has a grade 1 MCL sprain. It won't keep him from playing, but it might prevent him from being 100%. So that's something you have to keep an eye on, and that certainly puts a dent in the Giants' hopes if he's not 100%. You got to see more of Wayne Gallman. So personnel-wise, you know, the Giants have a minor concern there, and I just think the Eagles are still the better team there. You probably should see more of Wendell Smallwood. He could be a flex play this week. I can believe they want to get the ball to Nelson Aguilar more. I just think the Eagles are the better team, and although the Giants need the game more and it could go either way, I'm going with the Eagles.
Yeah, that makes sense to me as well. You just talk about Wendell Smallwood. I look at your running back ranks here on rotoexperts.com for the, you know, next month or so. You got Wendell Smallwood as RB41. You have Corey Clement as RB43. So another example where you have both running backs from the same team kind of in the same neighborhood on your rankings. Now, I think Clement participated. I think he got in a limited practice yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, Scotty. So he's back kind of on the practice field as well. I actually thought that Clement would be higher ranked than Smallwood. And the reason I would ask this, the reason I would say this, Scott, is because, you know, in training camp, in the preseason, they had to release depth charts. You know, they had an idea on who they liked out of these two backs better. And, you know, it was clearly Clement. I don't know what has Smallwood done to kind of rise above Clement. I know Clement is banged up, but when they are both healthy, you still think Smallwood is the lead guy over Clement? Because I sort of think they would go to Clement first.
When they were both healthy in week 3, Smallwood outplayed Clement. He's been looking very good with the ball in his hands. He had 10 carries for 53 yards. And a touchdown and 3 catches for 35 yards last time Jay Ajayi missed a game.
Okay. You have them both, however, kind of outside of your top 40. So these guys are just flex plays at best, correct?
Yeah, we have to see how that one plays out.
Yeah, we'll see how that one plays out. We'll see what the kind of how the weighting of that timeshare is. And remember, eventually it'll get further complicated. You know, Darren Sproles is probably a week away, but when he comes back, it may complicate things, especially in the pass game. Scotty, another game that I want to go to real quick, and this is one where, like, you know, the total is not high. The total is only 42. And quite frankly, at this point, I think I would be on the under on this game at 42. The Chicago Bears go down to Miami to take on the Dolphins. We also have more weather. Remember, you know, Hurricane Michael is bearing down on that panhandle. I know it's more around kind of like the Gulf Coast than it is Miami, but we might see some residual weather this week as well down in Miami. The Chicago Bears come down. Listen, Bears are coming off their bye, Scotty, so Khalil Mack and the crew is rested. We've seen that this offense has been blunt guts trash over the last couple of weeks in Miami. You say you want nobody, you don't want to own anybody, maybe Kenyon Drake, but that's about it. I can see the Bears defense dominating this one, but I also don't know that the Bears put up, you know, six touchdowns like they did in their last effort against Tampa Bay. I can see this being a low-scoring game. Where's there any fantasy football goodness in this one, Scott? Bears and Dolphins in Miami.
Defense, yeah, especially the Bears being a startable, the number two defense I have ranked in my in-season ranks at rotoexperts.com. So defense. And Miami, I think even if the weather is better, that they're a great defensive stream. And their two home games so far this year, they have allowed one touchdown pass with five interceptions.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Mike Blewett was all over the Miami Dolphins early season kind of home games. You know, they had a stretch of home games. And look, when teams went down there to Miami, they lost. All right. So that's what helped them to that 3-0 start. They've been a much different team in the last couple of weeks at Cincinnati and at New England. But they return home. But it'll be a Bears team that's coming down to meet them that is 3-1 and in first place in the NFC North. On the Bears side of things, though, listen, Scott, I've been getting so many questions about Jordan Howard, you know, because he's not being used as the volume isn't there like people thought. I was saying that going into the season that I was worried about his volume because now all of a sudden there's more playmakers on this squad. But you can't cut Jordan Howard. You have to just kind of ride out with him. How do you see Jordan Howard's season moving in the next couple of weeks? You have him as RB 27
pretty much
your ranks.
Pretty much like we've seen it before. He keeps dropping in my ranks progressively every week. You know, this offense really is so up and down and unpredictable every week. And, you know, he's not getting a lot of goal line opportunities, et cetera. You know, they're using him more in the passing game, but his numbers have just been very disappointing so far. He's going to continue to drop if he doesn't perform.
Okay, so listen, that game had a low total, so we're not expecting much in that one. The next game I want to talk about, Scotty, I am expecting a ton of points and a ton of fantasy goodness in this one. It is an NFC South battle and in the Dome in Atlanta. The Tampa Bay Bucks, coming off their bye, will play the Atlanta Falcons in a division matchup. 57.5 is the total in this one. Now listen, Scott, I have been saying for a while that in Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston, the switch to quarterback, could be good. The Fitz magic has worn out. They have no running game to speak of. They're going to have Ronald Jones probably active. Peyton Barber didn't do it in his stead, trying to, you know, be the starter there. But my other point is that the Tampa Bay pass defense has been so bad. So you know Atlanta is going to be able to score on them. But I think Tampa Bay is going to be able to score on Atlanta as well. We've talked about the Falcons pass defense, both safeties out, their coverage linebacker out. Big Ben and the Steelers put up 41 points. I'm not saying that Tampa Bay puts up 40 necessarily, but I do think Jameis Winston is a decent play this week. I do like all of the receivers this week. I do love Cameron Brate as a tight end, who you were able to get on the waiver wire. He was only owned in 35% of leagues. Maybe people forgot about the O.J. Howard injury. Maybe people forgot that he was coming off his bye. Maybe people forgot how good of a season he had at the beginning last year with Jameis Winston. I think these guys are all plays. I expect points to be scored and fantasy goodness to be had on both sides, Tampa Bay versus Atlanta. What do you say?
Yeah, this is going to be a shootout, obviously. You see the Vegas total. A lot of people slept on Cameron Brate just because he was on a bye. People didn't want to pick up a guy off of you know, off of a buy. He's only 16.1% owned. And if you check out the New York Daily News print edition today, you know, you'll see Cameron Brate leading my waiver column. So, you know, I like him a lot. Jameis Winston, we've talked about the volume. I think Chris Godwin's a good play as well. But, you know, Atlanta back home on the fast track. You know, I think Calvin Ridley gets back in a groove this week.
Yeah, so listen, all of these wide receivers, right? I mean, you have Mike Evans as wide receiver 11 moving forward. You have Calvin Ridley as wide receiver 18 moving forward. You have Julio Jones as wide receiver 9 moving forward. So there's quality wide receivers to take advantage of. I love your call on Cameron Brate. Remember, O.J. Howard still dealing with that knee injury. Remember, he had good chemistry with Jameis Winston last year. You take the over or the under on this game, Scotty? 57.5. It's up kind of in the same territory as Chiefs-Pats. And I think it, you know, the indicators are there. Bad pass defenses and, you know, stacked kind of skill position players in the passing game. You like the over or the under in this one? 57.5.
I'm gonna go over. Neither defense. Well, one's bad and the other's full of injuries.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, do you think, what, if I set the over under on punts in this game, at 2.5, what would you say?
I'm gonna go under.
Less than two and a half punts, right? And yep. What about this Kansas City New England game? How many punts do you think we'll see in that one?
Kansas City New England, I think we'll see two punts.
Yeah, right. So, but I'd be interested to see which game has more punts: this Bucks Falcons game or the Pats. And the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Remember also for your DFS players, that Chiefs-Pats game is the Sunday night game, leaving this game in Atlanta with the highest total on the board. The last game I want to get to, Scotty, before we go to the top of the hour, is the game that's in London, okay? Remember, this game is in Wembley Stadium, so when you look at the Raiders, it's not really the black hole, okay? This game will be taking place in London. The Seahawks and the Raiders. The Raiders are +3. We've talked about the Seattle run game. Talk to me about the Raiders wide receivers, Scotty. You know, there's Amari Cooper, who people keep on waiting for, but Jordy Nelson is getting targeted. Martavis Bryant is, you know, showing himself every now and then. How do you think this Raiders passing game looks? Because, you know, it's not the Legion of Boom there anymore. Teams are certainly passing against the Seahawks.
Yeah. We've seen with Amari Cooper, it's an even number of weeks, so you have to put him back in the lineup. And also, you know, the Seahawks team can certainly be beaten downfield, although they do play more of a cover three shell, so it's more about gaining yardage after the catch than it is just getting a deep bomb. But I think Amari Cooper can have a pretty good but not outstanding day. If anything, you know, Jordy Nelson's been underrated. He's been pretty consistent in terms of touchdown production. I think he's a good start this week. And Martavis Bryant might actually be a good play this week for Daly.
Yeah,
don't forget, revenge game for Marshawn Lynch here.
That's true. It is a revenge game. He will have Pete Carroll on the other sidelines. Apparently, they did not give him the ball on the one-yard line on the Super Bowl. I don't know if you've heard that or not yet, Scotty. But the wide receivers here, listen, you have Amari Cooper ranked 39. You have Jordy Nelson ranked 40.
Is that a dig? Was that a dig?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
About to shoot back some, but I'll hold back.
It was certainly not. Right. I'm sure you have all your bullets loaded in the chamber, ready to go as soon as you need them. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 39. Jordy Nelson, wide receiver 40. But I want to ask you about a wide receiver on the other side of things, Scott. Tyler Lockett starting to make some big plays. A lot of people coming into the season had him as a sleeper, but he's falling victim, just like Doug Baldwin and the rest, to this kind of 57-43 split run pass. Talk to me about Tyler Lockett moving forward. Are you confident he can continue making some of these big plays? You have him as wide receiver 21 in the, you know, in the medium term. So a wide receiver 2 week to week. You have him 37 spots higher than the consensus, Scott. So you obviously see something in Tyler Lockett. Tell the people about it.
Yeah, they're just, you know, he's not getting the respect. Everybody's talking about Doug Baldwin, you know, coming back and doing something here. Tyler Lockett has scored every week except for one. You know, he's making big plays every single week, and deep defenses are just not stopping him, and certainly the Raiders aren't going to do it this week. So, you know, Tyler Lockett, I think, is very underrated right now. He is clearly the number one wide receiver for the Seahawks.
All right. There you have it. You say he's the number one wide receiver.
for the fantasy
you,
wise.
You think, okay, for fantasy wise, so you expect more production out of Lockett than Baldwin on a week-to-week basis moving forward?
Yeah, right now, in the near term, yes.
Right now, if you owned Tyler Lockett and someone offered you Doug Baldwin, you would say no.
2 weeks ago, I made a trade. I traded Kerryon Johnson and Doug Baldwin to get Alex Collins and Tyler Lockett.
Hmm. Interesting. Hey, we only got a couple minutes here. Let me ask you something, because then when we go back to the top of the hour, we'll reset the few headlines that we have, and we'll dive into some of these afternoon games. My question for you, Scott, is I got a person ask me. It's an ethical thing. You know, it's an ethics thing. You know, sometimes people propose trades to you, you know, or you propose trades to someone, they just sit there. I told the listener yesterday on Fantasy Freestyle that what I do is I discard or delete any trade offerings that are there, that are hanging in there. I delete them at 12:45 on Sunday morning, no matter what, because you can't have one of the players in there get hurt or something like that and an owner try and run. Like, for example, let's say I was about to, you know, trade you Matt Breida, and you were going to trade me, you know, whatever it is, whatever, whoever, it doesn't matter, Mike Davis, right? And we're going back and forth, right? And then that trade is still there, and then it's hanging out there on Sunday. We're watching the games, and then, oh, snap, Matt Breida gets hurt in what looks like could be some time, and then I run and accept it. How do you feel about trades, A, hanging out there during Sunday, and is it ethical to, you know, pull the trigger on something like that when action is live, or is it on the other owner to kind of delete or discard anything that's hanging out there before the games run on Sunday?
I delete all my trade offers usually by Saturday, and right. I don't. Generally, as a rule, I don't intend to keep them there for very long. I might usually, if I don't get an answer back within a day, the other guy's not going to do it. So I usually pull it off. It really depends on who the league. And if the trade's still floating out there, and it's still on your board, and it still has the accept option, you accept it. That's the other owner's mistake. Too bad.
Really? Really? Okay, interesting. I think I want to dive into that a little bit more. We'll find time to do that on Fantasy Sports Today. This has been Roto Experts in the Morning. See you on the other side of the break. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.